Good Monday morning to you. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and our producer is Matt Neely. Thanks, Matt, for all you do for Jump in Tucson. Coming up tomorrow, General Ted Maxwell will be the host. On Wednesday, Grant Kruger from Union Public House. And on Thursday, Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And I'll be back at the end of the week with business success stories. You know, Jump in Tucson is about the good things that are going on. And this Monday segment is about the wonder, the good things going on at the University of Arizona. And all the wonderful people, researchers, staff, faculty, all the good inventions and research that comes out of the U of A that helps our community. The program is sponsored in part by Michael Kasser of Haleakala Companies. And we have a really fun guest today. You all will recognize his name and his voice because he's now doing quite a bit of TV analyst work. His name is Josh Pastner. Good morning, Josh.
Dr. Ackerley, thanks for having me on. And I just want to tell you what a great Monday morning to wake up to that music. I mean, jump, you know, from the Pointer Sisters.
Correct.
I mean, an awesome song. That if that doesn't get your blood going and get you some enthusiasm and energy and positivity, I don't know what does. So really cool to hear that going for this great Monday morning and a great week ahead with the Pac-12 tournament coming up for this week in Las Vegas as well too.
Yeah, well, you know, you have a fantastic you're a great ambassador for the University of Arizona. You have a strong and bonded history to the University of Arizona, and of course one of our favorite guys in the world, Lute Olson, and that whole experience that you had with him. Can you talk just a little bit about your decision to come from Houston and come play at the University of Arizona for Lute and getting on the team and then taking them to that historic win in the national championship?
Well, Doc, I would tell you that, you know, I've had opportunities to make many decisions in my life, and probably one of the very best ones was coming to the University of Arizona and Tucson and being with Coach Olson. I actually wrote a letter. I knew back in fifth grade, in fact, that I wanted to be a basketball coach. I was watching the Lakers versus the Celtics on one of the national networks. This was in fifth grade. And I remember turning to my father and saying, if I want to play in the NBA, I mean, you know, who doesn't want to play in the NBA when you're a young kid? But I want to play in the NBA. But if I can't play in the NBA, I said, I want to stay in the game of basketball. Again, this is as a fifth grader. I want to stay in the game of basketball. So I figured the next best thing to playing was coaching. And I told my dad that when I was in fifth grade. And really since then, I put all my energies into wanting to become a coach to allow me to stay involved in the game of basketball. Now, look, I worked hard. I wanted to be the next Steve Kerr and play in the NBA and be a great, you know, starting point guard at Arizona and all those good things. But you know, I was a good high school player. I wrote a letter to every single Division I, Division II, Division III, all the NAIA schools in America. I wrote over 1,000 personal handwritten letters.
Wow.
And one of the only few schools to respond to me was Lute Olson in Arizona, Coach Olson in Arizona. Because in the letter, I talked about, I'll be a positive influence. I can work guys out. I can do all these things. I want to coach. And he looked at it that this would be great. This guy can come here, work guys out, do film with him, and it won't count against the time limit with the NCAA rules. And he can be around the guys all the time. And so I got that opportunity as my freshman to get there. And I'll never forget in August when I reported, we all played pickup with. And again, I still believed I was going to be the next Steve Kerr. Uh-huh. Like I was going to be a great player. Dr. Ackerley, within the first, I would say, 7 seconds of that pickup game that I played when I was going against Miles Simon and Michael Bibby and Jason Terry, I knew literally in 7 seconds, my playing days are over. I'm not getting in games here. It's over. Let's just put everything to coaching. Just the athlete, even though I could really shoot it, the athleticism was just a totally different deal and being able to keep up with those guys. And so I really put a lot of energies towards coaching. And our freshman year, we ended up winning the national championship in 1997, which is, I still say to this day, it's the greatest run in the history of the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. We're the only team ever to beat 3 number one seeds. They should do a 30 for 30 special on it. It was the greatest run ever. And the more you're in it, the longer you're in it, you recognize how hard it is to accomplish what we accomplished. And you're such in rarefied air. And so I'm just so fortunate and blessed. And there's no words can describe of my time there. And I love Tucson. I love Tucson. Most people, you know, either go to school there or you retire there. I love the city of Tucson. I love everything about it. And of course, U of A is a big part of that as well, too. So had many great times there.
Well, Lute was just a great master and a great teacher. And what a great ambassador for Tucson himself. And just the fact that you got to be with a Hall of Fame coach like him was pretty powerful in your own personal life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Coach Olson, I think, and you know this, Dr. Ackerley, that he's one of the greatest human beings. I mean, look, what he did as a coach, it speaks for itself. He's one of the great coaches in the history of sport. Just forget just basketball. I mean, right. He literally took over a program that, and I'd say this, he built a city. Mm-hmm. I mean, back in the 90s, in late 80s and 90s, when you thought of Tucson, Arizona, you thought of that cactus logo at the University of Arizona and McHale Center when they were being played on national television. You thought of Arizona basketball that resonated with Tucson. He literally built a city. Not only did he build a basketball program in a school, but he literally built up a city. He was like an A-list movie star when he walked into a home. Right. He was so good looking. He was handsome. He dressed so well. I mean, there was an aura about him when he walked in. He was such a class gentleman. He was an incredible teacher of the game. And I miss him to this day. I love him so much. And it's an honor, a privilege, a blessing. Doesn't even describe how lucky I was just to be part of him, both as a player and then working for him as an assistant coach.
I used to say, I still say that when Lute would walk into a room, it'd be almost like he was floating into the room on a cloud. It was amazing his presence that he had. He wasn't that tall, was maybe about 6'3 or so, 6'4. He was, but man, did he have presence. He would walk into a room and he'd have so much presence that you just could not help yourself but be attracted to him. And I think the definition of charisma. Yeah.
100%. And you know, this is back in the day, like right now in college athletics, so much of it's about, you know, basically paying players,
right?
NIL and all that other good stuff. But back in the day, you would do home visits. That was a big thing. You go recruiting, kind of the traditional home visits. When he walked into a room, into a home, I can't tell you, I've never been in a home that we walked into where the mom that was married would be like falling in love with Lute Olson for that home visit. I mean, and
I
have a crush. And we would, every mom wanted their son to play for Coach Olson because they just had such a crush on Coach Olson.
I love
because
it.
Of his charisma. He's a good looking man. He walked in. There was nothing like it.
We're talking with Josh Pastner, former University of Arizona basketball player and coach. We'll come back after the break and talk about Josh's coaching career and his current working on ESPN. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley. Today is Wonder Day, the good things going on at the University of Arizona. Our guest is former University of Arizona basketball player and coach, Josh Pastner. Now current ESPN, CBS, and lots of other different networks as an analyst. Welcome back, Josh.
Thanks again for having me with you for this great Monday morning.
Well, you know, we talked a lot about Lute and your playing days. Let's talk a little bit about your coaching days. You were very fortunate to follow John Calipari at Memphis and then went on to Georgia Tech. Talk a little bit about you getting those two head coaching jobs and how powerful that is in your own life.
Well, yeah, you could say I was fortunate or unfortunate to follow John Calipari. His last 4 years at Memphis, he had won 95% of his games, the greatest four-year run in the history of the NCAA. John Wood never did that. Lute Olson didn't do it. Dean Smith didn't do it. Mike Krzyzewski didn't do it. John Calipari did. And so the reason I was able to get the job at 31 years of age at Memphis was because nobody wanted to follow John Calipari. Like, nobody wanted the job. And so I was last man standing. They had to give it to somebody. And so we had great success. We won a lot of games. But, you know, obviously you're always being compared to John Calipari. So I understood it. And it was a pressure cooker job. It was an absolute pressure cooker job every day, 7 days a week, you know, 24 hours a day, 365. There was no off time because you were literally like the mayor of the city every second. And you had to be on all times. And then when the Georgia Tech job opened, I thought, man, it was a rebuild. So you're taking from something, instead of following something at where it's at the ultimate high, you're taking something where it's where you're building it up. And I really thought that'd be really neat. It's in Atlanta. It's in the ACC, which is, as you know, and is the best basketball and historically the best basketball league. And I thought, you know, if I could have success there and build it back up, I could say I've done it two different ways. I've taken something at the very, very top, and I've taken something when it's been at the bottom, and to do it in two different ways to see that. And we were very fortunate. I told him in our meeting that it would take me 5 years. You got to give me 5 years to build it back up. And we would get back to the NCAA tournament. And we did. And in our fifth year, we ended up winning the ACC championship. We had done some things at Georgia Tech and that hadn't been done there in a long, long, many, many, you know, decades. And then look, what happens is the NIL comes into place. And unfortunately, I didn't get an opportunity with NIL. A new AD and president come in, which is just part of the business, and they wanted their own people. And unfortunately, that just happens. And then they actually, the guy that followed me at Georgia Tech, who was my assistant at Memphis and who was a great player at Arizona, was Damon Stoudemire. Right. And Damon's doing a really good job at Georgia Tech right now. He did a great job at Pacific as a head coach, was at the Boston Celtics as an assistant, and doing a great job at Georgia Tech. So really happy. As much as I love to still be coaching, I'm really happy that they gave the opportunity to Damon Stoudemire, who's doing a great job. And then from there, I said, what am I going to do with my life? All I've done is coaching. I had some opportunities for media. And so I got picked up with, I've been doing ESPN. I've been doing NBC Peacock for the Big Ten. I've done CBS Sports Network. I've done Field of 68. I've done a lot of different things. So I've really been busy with that, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it and have loved every second of it. And have found a new way of life, if you would like to say, a little bit less stressful in some areas. So I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was neat last weekend when you were talking with Dave Pasch and Richard Jefferson and asking them to ask Dave who his favorite analyst would be. Would it be Richard or Bill Walton or Josh Pastner? And of course, Dave said you, of course. Of course he did.
That was nice. Yeah. On last week's game against when they played UCLA, actually on last Thursday, Arizona actually clinched the Pac-12 right. championship last week. But yeah, Richard Jefferson was calling the game.
Yeah.
And Dave Pasch was just awesome. And Richard Jefferson, who's awesome. I lived with Richard for a year as well, too. The career that he's had at Arizona, the NBA, and what he's done in the TV broadcasting world, he's been outstanding. So that was really cool to be able to talk to them last week.
It was great that he didn't make any apologies. He said he was an unabashed University of Arizona fan. No disrespect to UCLA, but I'm all in for the U of A. So I thought it was.
I thought that was awesome when Richard said that on the telecast last week. I thought him saying that I am a 100% rooting for Arizona and I hope UCLA loses by a lot in this game. I thought that was a classic. And, you know, that's kind of a no-no in the media world, you know, when you're supposed to stay neutral, but he told it like it was. I love Richard for doing that. That was funny.
Well, coming up at the end of the week here, the Cats get their first game bye, but they start playing in the Pac-12 tournament. They've clinched the division. They look to go on and win the tournament and then move on to the NCAA tournament. Your thoughts on Tommy Lloyd and the Tommy Lloyd era and how they have been doing the last year or two under his leadership?
I think Tommy Lloyd has done an outstanding job. I mean, Dr. Ackley, he's going to be, you know, assuming, you know, by the end of this week, I'm thinking they're going to win the Pac-12 championship despite, you know, the championship's on Saturday. So you're assuming they're going to win it on this Saturday. But they're going to end up with a one seed or two seed. No matter what, they're going to be in the West. They're going to play in Salt Lake, then Las Vegas, and they got a chance to go to Glendale, Arizona for the Final Four. But in Tommy Lloyd's 3 years, he's always been a one seed, a two seed, or I mean, that's all he's been. And he's won Pac-12 championships, both regular season and in the tournament. The only thing he hasn't done is gone to the Final Four. And I think this year he has as good of a setup and as good of a team to do it. They just got to be able to handle in this in this run, whether it's in Salt Lake in the first two rounds or in Las Vegas in the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight, when they play a team that makes it a really half-court, smash-mouth type of game, they've got to be able to get through that game. They're so good in transition offense. Right. They have so much talent. They make runs in a hurry. They've just got to be able to handle that game when it becomes kind of more in the smash-mouth half-court in the 60s. They've got to find a way to win the game.
That's coming from Coach Josh Pastner, which is a great prognosis for the Cats. You know, their bench is so strong. It's amazing how those young guys come off the bench and contribute at an elite level, and they're as good as many of the teams in the top 25. As some of their bench players are as good as the guys that are starting for these other schools. It's amazing the depth that he has been able to create on the bench and bring those people in from other countries who are really, really top-notch.
Yeah, he's done an outstanding job. I mean, Coach Tommy Lloyd and his whole staff has just been incredible. And he's a great guy. I mean, he's a great guy. He's obviously the success has been, you know, it says what it says. I mean, you are what your record is. And he's been winning at a very, very high level. And you just, and again, that's just the power of the Arizona program. Think about it. That's why when people don't use Arizona as in the terms of a blue blood, meaning it's one of the elite programs in America, they are. Lute Olson, look what Coach Lute Olson's done. But every coach that has been after him has taken a team and has had great success. Even Kevin O'Neill, he took the team to the NC2A tournament. And then Russ Pennell took the team to the Sweet 16. And then you had Sean Miller, who had incredible success. And now Tommy Lloyd, who's incredible success. It's all been on the heels of Lute Olson, who's built this program. And that is why it's one of the very, very elite programs in all of college basketball.
Well, that's fantastic, Josh. What are your plans? You're going to stick with TV for a while, but I bet if a coaching job became available, would you consider jumping back into the NC2A?
You know, Doc, I have loved doing the television and the media. That being said, I just got to see what kind of opportunities present itself for head coaching opportunities, and we'll know here in the next week or two what things open, what opportunities present itself. I don't have to rush in to take something because I love TV. But if something was presented where I couldn't say no to, I would be extra excited to jump back in and coach again. And I think I'd be a better coach around this time than I was last time, even though we had a lot of wins. I would, it was sort of like taking a year of sabbatical.
Right.
You just see things, feel things, and know things, and able to really have a better viewpoint on if you get another opportunity.
And it's a family decision too, because if you move to a head coaching job, you'd have to uproot the family again and move to another city. And that's always, you know, that's the life of a basketball coach. But that's always a decision you have to make, the life-changing decisions for your kids especially. Yeah.
No, and you're right on that. I mean, you know, look, I mean, it's a blessing to have children and to have a wife, and I have just a beautiful family, and I love being around my family. And obviously, you know, look, when you're making decisions, it's just easy when you didn't have a wife or kids, you can just, you know, say I'm going to go here or there and do whatever because you're just responsible for yourself. But to your point, when decisions become in with moving, you do have to factor in your children and your wife, obviously,
right,
which is most important, because you know, they're at an age with school and friends, and you got to be you got to be sensitive to that. And so I have to factor that in, and that's a big part of any decision I have to make.
Well, we look forward to many more great years following Josh Pastner and his broadcasting and or coaching career into the future. And who knows, maybe one of those kids that you're raising right now, one of them might jump into becoming a great basketball star sometime in the future. I'm sure they're getting a lot of coaching from dad, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you,
I've
Josh.
I love it. Yeah. Thank you, Doc.
Thank
I appreciate
you so much.
You having me on. I've had a great time with this. You're awesome. And everyone have a tremendous week in Tucson. And thank you for having me on, Dr. Ackerley. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Josh Pastner, former University of Arizona basketball player and coach, and a fantastic ambassador for the University of Arizona Wildcats. This is Wonder on the Monday edition of Jump in Tucson, where we talk about great things happening at the University of Arizona. And I can't think of anybody better to talk about how great things are than Josh Pastner. He's a fantastic guy and a good friend. We'll be back in just a minute with Peter Hughes, the director of University of Arizona Adaptive Athletics, and you're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley. We're in our Monday Wonder Series where we talk about the good things and good people at the University of Arizona. It was great to hear from former University of Arizona basketball player and current coach and ESPN analyst Josh Pastner. And speaking of sports, I guess it's a sports Monday because we're on the line with us is Peter Hughes, who's the director of athletics for Adaptive Athletics at the University of Arizona. Good Monday morning to you, Pete.
Good morning, Ed. How are you today, sir?
Great, great. Well, tell us a little bit about how Peter Hughes got to become the athletic director of an award-winning adaptive athletics program at a Division I school like the University of Arizona, and how you moved from coach to athletic director.
Yeah, actually started as a player. In 2004, I was recruited here to play wheelchair basketball. Played for 2 years, then I was starting my family, and I had to go back to work. So I became the track coach for 3 years, the wheelchair track coach for 3 years, then the women's wheelchair basketball coach for 10 years, where I'm very proud we won 2 national championships there, and then moved on to become the director, and this is my 6th season as the director of Adaptive Athletics, and couldn't be happier and prouder where the program currently is. It's just very, very strong right now.
Well, tell us a little bit about the whole program and how amazing it is for those people that haven't witnessed some of the competitions or just had the pleasure of meeting some of the fantastic athletes that you have. Tell us a little bit about the program and what you offer to students from all over the country and in fact around the world who are coming to the University of Arizona to engage in athletics and with you and your programs that you have. What all do you offer to students?
Yeah, well, we have the largest program in the nation. We've produced over 51 Paralympians already, and we'll have a couple more going in 2024 to the Paris Paralympic Games. And we actually have 8 full sports that we support. I'll try to name them off real quick here. Men's and women's wheelchair basketball, wheelchair tennis, wheelchair rugby, adaptive golf, para swim, para triathlon, wheelchair track, and I know I'm going to miss one in there, hand cycling. And we're the only program that offers some of those programs. Our philosophy is if you are a student athlete with a disability and you are enrolled at the University of Arizona, it's our job to help support you in some way, shape, or form. Some of those programs have full funding with head coaches and, you know, academic support and scholarships and other programs. You know, we're still working on getting additional support for them. But, you know, it's like, it's great that there's an opportunity the university provides, you know, one place in the world where you can actually be a para swimmer or an adaptive golfer and represent a university while you're playing and getting that support. It's fantastic. And we're in our 50th year. This is our 50-year anniversary. And like I said, we've come from a, you know, real small program to the biggest in the world. And you're right. People come from around the world to learn from us and also to get their education here.
I teach at the U of A, as you know, on the side. I've been there 33 years, and from time to time, students on the adaptive athletics teams come through my classes. And Blaise Mutware is currently in my class, and he's a wheelchair basketball player, and he's going to be going to, representing, I guess, Canada in the Paralympics, is what I understand from him. So you have lots of students who have come through and gone on to the Paralympics and representing, of course, the University of Arizona, but of course their home country or the United States. So amazing how many have come through the program.
Yeah, it's just a great story, and they all have, you know, very unique stories. Blaise is one of my favorite players. He's already been to 1 Paralympics. In fact, he has to go to Paris in April. Canada did not yet qualify for the Paralympics for wheelchair basketball, so they have to win their tournament there in Paris to go to the championships. They lost to the U.S., which is okay.
Right.
And, you know, and they, they're still there. But we do have some great stories coming out through the program of perseverance. You know, our academic, our GPA is 3.3, you know, as a program. And we're just doing great things.
And you have a facility that you work out of Highland Commons, but where the DRC is, the Disability Resource Center is, but you obviously have to be on basketball courts and in swimming pools and other facilities on campus. So you have a really good relationship with the Intercollegiate Athletics Department, and you guys share some of those facilities, correct?
Yeah, the athletics department is very supportive of our program. They've been doing, we used to do an event called Lame for a Game. We did that for 25 years, and then they moved us to Red and Blue. So we're the pregame show for the men's team, you know, in the Red and Blue showcase. And Coach Tommy and Coach Adia Barnes and Coach Fred Harvey, you know, for the track team have been super supportive of our program. So they help with that. They help with the gym click, run and roll, tailgate. They give us 400 tickets that we're able to give out as sponsorship offerings during the run and roll tailgate. And, you know, really kind of kept our program afloat for many years. That, you know, most of our competitions are held at the campus rec. We have a great campus recreation is also a great partner, as is campus health. And we're looking to advance our partnerships within the university.
And you have, how many total athletes are participating in your different sports? How many total do you, obviously some are scholarship recipients and others are just playing on teams. How many total students do you work with on an average semester, an average year?
Yeah, well, this year is our largest class. We have 63. We're graduating 14 this year, which will be our largest graduation as well. And actually, Ed, this year was the first year ever that we were able to give all 63 of those athletes some form of scholarship. You know,
great.
So it's been a banner year for us.
Well, we'll talk after the break. When we come back after the break, we'll talk about how the community can help support the adaptive athletic program. And you've got a big gala coming up. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. But let's talk a little bit about recruiting. How do you go about going around the country and around the world? Obviously, as the biggest program in the world or in the country, you're going to get natural attention that way. But how do you go about your recruiting, and how do the coaches go about getting recruits to come to the University of Arizona?
Well, you know, there's a large, for wheelchair basketball, where most of our competition is for recruitment, because there's so many other universities that have programs that in wheelchair tennis are the two popular university supported programs. You know, we go to the NWBA junior finals. We'll go to junior tournaments. You know, there's about 300 teams throughout the United States that are playing, you know, in different divisions, and about 100 junior programs around. Very, very excited that this is the first year ever that our junior program in Tucson is going to the nationals, which is on April 4th to the 6th. I believe it's being held in Ohio. I'm not positive about that, but they're the first time ever, and that was a program that started out of the university, you know, ran by our student athletes and our athletes, and is now ran by our great community partner, Southern Arizona Adaptive Sports, and Mia Hansen. So they finally got enough people to go there. But recruitment is really, you know, social media now. Like, we're being recruited because we're so successful. We're being recruited by the students, and then we you know, we have them come for a visit, you know, and show them a good time, show them what we're about, you know, in the classroom and on the courts, or the pitch, so to speak. And you know, that's the way we recruit.
I've had the good fortune of course having students in my classes from your program, but also attending some functions with them. That one event that you had at the Jim Click Hall of Champions, that was been about a year and a half ago. That was amazing to see those young people, and they're all smiles, and they're all excited about their opportunities here at the University of Arizona. You've got great students, great young people that you work with.
Yeah, they're fantastic, and we were so proud of that day, the Hall of Champions. You know, the thing that we're always fighting for is some form of, you know, stepping closer to equality in the way our intercollegiate athletes are treated, as well as our adaptive athletes. And the Hall of Champions, being inducted into the Hall of Champions with our own display case and our own history, was a huge step forward in that direction.
Great. We'll take a quick break. We'll go see some sponsors. We'll come back. We're talking with Peter Hughes, who's the director of University of Arizona Adaptive Athletics Program. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is your host, Ed Ackerley. We're with the Monday Wonder Program, a program sponsored in part by Michael Kasser of Hulualoa Companies to talk about the wonderful things going on at the University of Arizona. Our guest is Peter Hughes, Athletics Director for the University of Arizona Adaptive Athletics Program at the U of A, and talking about some great opportunities for students coming from all over the country and around the world to participate in athletic endeavors here at the university and the nation's largest adaptive athletic program for major colleges. Tell us a little bit about, you've got a retirement of a jersey, Rudy Gallego. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Rudy Gallego was one of our very, very first players. In fact, he was the first player. In 1973, he met with the head of the DRC, a guy named Kent Klepping, Professor Kent Klepping, and asked him to help fund a program for a wheelchair basketball team. They got some of the original grant seed money together and started in 1974, which is obviously 50 years ago. Rudy passed away this last, I believe, in December of 2023. I'm not positive about that. Just recently he passed away. And, you know, it was time to put him in the, you know, we had reached out to him to put him in our Hall of Fame. We have an Adaptive Athletics Hall of Fame, and we decided to retire his jersey at the Men's Wheelchair Basketball Home Tournament, which was a couple weeks ago. It's the first jersey that we've ever retired. He was number 55, and, you know, obviously these early guys that did all the fighting with no protection of ADA or any of that stuff were critical to the success of our program, and we want to make sure that we honor and remember them.
Fantastic. You also have an event coming up to celebrate the 50th anniversary. You have your big gala Friday, April 5th, coming up. It's going to be at the Student Union Grand Ballroom. Tell us a little bit about that and how interested businesses can support you by donating some items maybe, or to give you some money, or to help with the program.
Yeah, we still have sponsorships available and tables available for sale. We can go all that grand ballroom can get up to 600 people. We're hoping for 400. I think we're already sold right around 300 tickets. It's a 50-year anniversary. We do this every 4 years during our Paralympic year because we're getting ready to, it's a way of celebrating the past, the current, and the future. We're getting ready to send these guys and gals over to Paris for the Paralympics. We anticipate at least 10 people there. So it's all, the Olympics and the Paralympics are held in France this year in Paris. And so it's a Paris-themed event. And, it's going to be a great, great opportunity for everybody to get to meet the athletes and celebrate their accomplishments. You know, we're going to put two people in, Ken Klepping, who I mentioned earlier, and Rudy Gallego into our Adaptive Athletics Hall of Fame. We're going to dance the night away from 8 to 10. So it should be a lot of fun. And certainly anybody can reach out to me directly.
Right. You have sponsorships. You have everything from you can sponsor one of the activities, the trophies and photo booth, the live music, the logos and so forth, different things that you can sponsor as a business or as an individual. But then you can also, if you're a company, you can purchase a full-page ad in the program or as small as a quarter-page ad for $100. So if you're interested in supporting that. And then, of course, you have a silent auction that's going on that would also be of interest to some folks purchasing some of those things. So it would be a neat activity for someone to go to support your program, have a little fun, and if it's a business, maybe get some exposure, but more importantly, to help those folks that need to get to Paris and help the program overall. So it's a great opportunity for the community.
Yes. Thank you very much for promoting that for us, Doc.
Tell us a little bit about the run and roll. Are you planning one for 2024 here?
Yeah, that's our annual event. We'll do, in non-Paralympic years, we do golf fundraisers. So if you we'll do a golf fundraiser, and we have the number one visually impaired golfer in the world playing for us right now.
She is amazing, by the way. She is amazing.
Yeah.
And I still don't know. I still don't know how she hits that ball as far as she does, and as straight as she does, and as good as she does.
I'll tell you what. I was all planning on learning how to golf until I saw her golf, and I just quit on the spot. I'm not golfing anymore.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so we do a golf fundraiser every year, but the Gym Click Run and Roll is a run, walk, push. Our elite wheelchair racers start us off. It's on campus. It's always like the first or second weekend of October.
Right.
We don't compete with the football games. You know, on Saturday it's a Sunday. It's a so I think this year it's October 13th is the race, and then we tie it with a tailgate and a party. And there's sponsorship opportunities available for that as well. And, it's, one silver lining, and there's not too many silver linings for COVID, but one of them was we started the virtual race, and now our alumni and our friends that we've been around the world with, we had a bunch of people from Uganda running in the Gym Click Run and Roll virtual, so it's quite people in Japan are running in it. It's just growing. It's just really a lot of fun to see.
When Peter Hughes became the athletic director for adaptive athletics at the University of Arizona, I bet he didn't know that one of his main jobs was to be Mr. Fundraiser and go everywhere. And you are a master at asking people for support and supporting, and part of that comes from your passion and the passion that the whole program you just have to be around these students for just a few minutes before you are addicted to it yourself. It's amazing what these young people are. And you do a fantastic job of promoting the program and being an ambassador for the University of Arizona. We really appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you very much. It's my honor and privilege.
And what are the prospects? Do we have any recruits coming in that are going to be those all-world Paralympians that are just young kids now that are just thinking about coming to the U of A because of its stature?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's quite a few recruits that we're getting. We'll have a couple tennis recruits and a golf recruit at the awards gala as well. They're coming in for that weekend. They want to see what we're all about. So, I think we have four. Currently, we have four on a wheelchair rugby team that have already qualified for Team USA. They won silver medals the last two Paralympics, so they're still shooting for gold. And I don't know that many people know this, but 4 years ago at the Paralympics, they finally announced that the prize money for winning gold, silvers, and bronze would be the same for the Olympians as it is for the Paralympians.
Fantastic.
Which is an amazing feat as well. So looking forward to going to Paris. And we also have a live auction. For you basketball fans out there, we got a beauty. You got to go there to learn. You got to go there to figure it out.
Find out what it is. So if someone wanted to,
I'm not gonna give it away.
Yeah.
No.
So if someone wanted to get involved, either a business or purchase tickets, they can obviously go on the Adaptive Athletics website and look it up. But they can also email you directly. Your email is pthughes@arizona.edu. Correct.
That is correct.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add about adaptive athletics or Peter Hughes or anything else?
No, I just the one thing that I always like to end stuff with is that when you're building championship teams and programs, it's always the unsung heroes are the supporters that are not seen, the fathers, the brothers, the sisters, and the people that are putting their finances into this thing, like Mr. Click and the Davis family and all those amazing people that are helping us every day.
And our good friend Michael Kasser of Hulu'ulo'u, who helps us with this program as well. So thank you so much, Peter. We really appreciate it. And good luck to you, and good luck on the gala, and good luck with your athletes going to the Paralympics. And thanks for all you do for the University of Arizona.
Good. I hope to see you there, Eddie.
There you go. If you'd like to be interviewed on Jump in Tucson, the Friday show, and share a success story, go to jumpintucson.com and let us know a little about you so we can tell some folks about your business. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley. This is Jump in Tucson. Thanks for listening.